growing pains are absolutely that. They're painful, but you're growing. You're developing yourself. You're becoming more of the person that you are meant to be.
You are listening to the Fluorescence Podcast. This podcast is here to challenge you to think differently about how you currently live your life. And I hope some of these conversations encourage and inspire you to step into your true aligned purpose. We'll chat about all things business, lifestyle, and a bit of sustainability. We are so excited to have you along for the ride. Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Fluorescence Podcast. This is another guest episode today, and I have the wonderful Pare on today. This woman is a mama and a boss entrepreneur who currently works full-time and is on a journey to rewiring her mind. Pare owns Rākai Aotearoa, which focuses on normalizing te reo Māori. Pare's vision is to leave her 9-to-5 and pursue Rākai full-time. And from the 1 month that I've known her, I can definitely see her accomplishing this. Pare's drive is out of this world, making time for herself and her mental slash physical health amongst busy mum and work life is so inspiring. Welcome, Pare.
Kia ora.
How are you today?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good. Thank you so much for being on my podcast.
Thank you for having me.
The first question I ask every one of my guests is, what is like one way that you are winning in the past week? So it can be big or small, personal, business.
How am I winning in the last week? I think for me, in the last week, we'll get right into it. Like for me, I've been on a journey of self-actualization and figuring out what that really meant to me. And so in the past week, I've really unpacked a lot of that. And yesterday, there was a bit of a breakthrough for me and hubby in terms of what we've been working through. And that was a huge win for me. So, and that's, I talked about it on my story today as well, this morning, where it was, it had been weighing on me for the last couple of weeks, so it was awesome to work through that with him. So,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I think that was a big one for me.
Cool. Can we like dive into it a little deeper? Like, how did you guys get to that breakthrough? Was it just like a matter of sitting down and communicating, or?
Yeah, and I think because when you've been together for so long as we have, I mean, I met him when I was 16, and our communication skills have obviously developed in the last 10 years. And so actually relearning the people that we are now and learning how to communicate with them is a journey in itself. And so through some professional and personal development that I've gone through recently with the beautiful Lena Gray, who talks about our synergy neurology, and we kind of delved more into the structure of thinking and how that all works. And so through that training, I've learnt a lot about myself, and I've learnt a lot about how I function within a relationship. And so I've really had to unpack that with my husband and work through it. So that's been a huge journey for us over the last short while. Cool. And it's been really important for us in order to move forward in our relationship. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, are you doing some kind of, like, personal development course at the moment?
I was as part of my mahi. So, during the day, I'm a whānau water navigator.
Yeah.
So, as part of the training to upskill our mātauranga kete, our basket of knowledge, was to attend this training. So we went there, 3-day training. I actually thought it was going to be, as I said, professional development, but it actually turned out to be more about personal development and working on myself and from within, and really how to do that in an empowering way. That's what we worked through.
Yeah, that's so cool that you have like opportunities to like access that kind of stuff like through work. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it was the first time that we had ever done this type of training, and I think it was probably the most beneficial, and everybody on the training who attended said so.
Yeah, I truly believe though that like when like organizations like invest in their people and like help them or like inner work within themselves, like productivity and just everything like in terms of business output's gonna go up.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I think, I don't actually think that the CEO knew that that's what she was paying for. Yeah. Like, it was suggested to her, and she was like, yeah, okay, they deserve, our auto navigators deserve something, you know, for the mahi that they do. And, you know, our whānau will benefit from this, so sure, send them on it. But, you know, she had no idea the actual impact that it was going to have, and it was immediate, and we felt it throughout the whole team. So, yeah, absolutely, highly recommend having a look into her. Name's Lena Gray.
Cool, awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. And so we'll start off with, do you just want to tell us a little bit about yourself, and then just more about, I guess, what keeps you busy day to day in terms of your job and your business and mum life?
Sure, yeah, I touched on it a bit there. But yeah, my name's Pariana, Pari for short. Born and bred here in Palmerston North. I went to school here, so started off at Roslyn, ended up at Freiburg, and then finished my high school there, where am I now? I'm a mum of a beautiful 15-month-old girl. I'm married to, as I said, my he would be a high school sweetheart, but he had already finished school when I met him. So we actually met at McDonald's, which was my first job at 15. Nice. Yeah, we've been together ever since we were pretty much kids, and we've grown up together. What happened after that, pretty much at 18 years old, my mum passed away, which was a huge turning point in my life. Mm-hmm. It marked a huge turn in the pathway that I thought was laid out for me. And as a result of that, I kind of just, I had to pave a new way, and I had to do it on my own two feet, accordingly. So, yeah, it was a tough few years following that, and both myself and my husband went through a lot during that time. As the process of grief goes, you don't really know what to expect from day to day, and so that threw me from one thing to another for a few years. Meanwhile, trying to balance a normal working life. So I went from McDonald's to Work and Income as a case manager. I worked there for 3 years, and then I moved on to a property brokers. I was property manager there for almost 3 years. I left that to go into a customer service supervisor role with New Zealand Couriers. I was there for, I think it was about 18 months, almost 2 years. And then I had a knee injury. So I was off on ACC for about 7 to 8 months while I went through the process of getting surgery and healing, going through all of that. And then I decided not to go back to NZ Couriers when I went through my knee injury. It wasn't where I wanted to be. I knew that that's not where I wanted to be. So there was no point in me going back after the surgery. So instead, I just kind of floated about. I did a couple of part-time jobs. One part-time job, I worked at a retail store in town for about 3 months. And then after that, I went to a call centre for 3 weeks. That was enlightening. And then, yeah, I got the job at the place that I'm working at now, which coincidentally happens to be the same place that my mum worked at before she died.
Okay.
So it was very full circle. Yeah. Very full circle. And it happened at such a peculiar time in my life where I wasn't sure which way to go. As I mentioned to you before, I was planning on going to Canada. You know, we had sold our house, and we'd bought a rental property with the intention to move over and start again. And then the job came up, and I just saw it as a sign to, you know, you're not going to find what you're looking for over there. So, you know, just stay and just see what happens. And so, we got married, and then 2 weeks later I started the job. And it's funny, cause we actually got married at the place that I work at now.
Really?
Yeah, because there's a marae there, so we got married in front of the marae.
Oh, this is literally around the corner.
Yeah. And so, that's where mum was taken when we had her tangi. So we had her tangi there. So it's just so it just seems so aligned. I was like, no, I have to listen to this. I have to stay.
The universe is telling
me. Yeah, absolutely was telling me to stay. And so we were fortunate to find. So at this point, I was living in a little cabin on the lawn of this rental property that we had bought because my sister was in the house. And so I didn't want to live in a cabin forever, especially not as a newly married, you know, woman. I want to live in a house. So we were fortunate enough to find a rental property. We were only there for about 4 months before I got pregnant. Because it was a funny story how we decided we were ready to have children. One of our friends from when we were teenagers, actually, she was in the first flat that Josh was in. She had just rung us and told us that she was pregnant with her first baby. And I was like, yeah. I want a baby. I remember saying to Josh, I was like, if Claire can have a baby, I want a baby. I've told her this, so she'll just crack up laughing. But yeah, I was like, I want a baby. And so, yeah, we kind of decided there and then that we were ready to try.
Really?
Yeah, but it's funny because we backed out like 2 weeks later. We were like, nah, let's go to Japan instead. And so we booked our trip to Japan.
You guys, oh my God.
And then I guess maybe like 3 or 4 weeks later, I took a pregnancy test because I felt like shit. And then, yeah, so
and that was it.
That was pretty much it. Yeah, there was the funny thing was is that the Japan trip was due the week that she was due.
Really?
So there's no way we were going to Japan. So yeah. Anyway, again, the universe just sends messages in the funniest ways. Everything kind of changed after we found out we were having our baby. Everything changes when you're having a child.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Your priorities just flip 180 straight away.
Yeah.
So yeah, we just wanted to settle down and get ourselves some roots.
Yeah.
Settle some roots in, which has landed us where we are.
Yeah.
Now.
Wow. 26 years old, and I feel like you've like done so much.
Girl, I've lived 10 lifetimes.
That's not even touching the surface. Like, that's only talking about your like full time work. Yeah. We haven't even really got into it yet.
Oh, that's right. You asked me about my job. We didn't even get to that part.
So how long have you been in the job that you're in like now?
So in the role that I'm in now, I've been in there since I've been back from maternity leave. So that was October last year.
Okay.
As I mentioned, I'm a whānau order navigator. So we essentially work in the community with our whānau who are wanting support working towards their dreams or aspirations. So we call it a moimoia.
Mm-hmm.
And we use Te Whare Tapawha, which is designed by Tā Mason Jury, Tā Meihana Jury, which focuses on the four sides of a whare, which represents the four, aspects of your being, your well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got taha hiringaro, taha wairua, taha tinana, and taha whānau. So those talk about the four pō, or the four pillars that hold up your whare, your whare haora. And so we use that model to help design a pathway for the whānau towards their aspirations from where they are at the time of working with us, beginning working with us, to where they want to be. So, yeah, we just, we're like life coaches, but with a Māori perspective on it.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful opportunity to be able to apply mātauranga Māori to a space of essentially social economic support.
Yeah, that's awesome. And do you enjoy it?
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I love that's working cool. with whānau, and they're not just Māori whānau either. But I do love working within the Māori community, and just seeing the indigenous greatness that exists in our society that goes unnoticed and unacknowledged.
Yeah.
And a lot of our whānau don't even know what they're capable of until someone says, well, did you know that you could do this yourself?
Yeah.
And that's in terms of like a big part of our role is just educating them on resources that are available.
Which is so important.
You know, absolutely. Like, there's resources that are out there that are there to be utilised that just aren't being utilised, but not because nobody wants to use them, it's because the people who need them don't know about it.
Yeah,
so that's what we as navigators do. We help navigate them through their
That's pathway. Cool. It sounds like quite a varied role, and you would meet like lots of different people.
Lots of different people from all walks of life, all stages of life. They're not all unemployed. Like, that's the thing. People think, oh, you know, they're just working with beneficiaries. There's some people that work full time with us, you know. They just need somebody, they just want somebody to hold them accountable. They don't need anybody, but they just need that person to help clear the path, make the pathway a bit clearer for them.
That's cool. I feel like that would be quite a fulfilling role, and something that's definitely like needed
community. Absolutely. Yeah. We need more navigators. Yeah. We need more navigators, and we need more people to be aware of the navigation services so that they can engage with them more so in an active way where they're getting the most out of it as well. Because
yeah.
we can only provide as good as the whānau are willing to give, like, because they are
okay.
they lead the plan. It's whānau led, so mm-hmm. they tell us what they think. What they want, and yeah. we just sort of help flesh it out pretty much yeah. through kōrero like me and you are having right now. Just getting to know them as people and actually having conversations with them there. A lot of the time no one has ever taken the time to have. Like, that's one common denominator amongst many of the whānau that I work with, is that nobody has ever asked them what they want. I don't look at it as a sad thing. I think it's very interesting when you're looking at a population impact sort of a scale, like, it's very interesting that there's so many people who have that common thinking, but they're living in totally different parts of the world, essentially. You know, their environments are totally different, but their whakaaro are all the same.
Yeah.
So where the holes that are being missed, and how can we fill those?
That's awesome. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing a little bit about your day-to-day work. We will switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about how we connected on Instagram. I honestly can't even remember how I came across your profile. I went back and looked at our messages when I was, like, writing up your intro for this, just so I could, like, get a gauge of to how to, I guess, talk a little bit about you, because we haven't known each other for very long. I think it's been, like, a month. Over a month. That's insane, and I think it's just the power of social media.
Absolutely.
I found you on your Instagram profile, Reprogramming Pare. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to talk a little bit about that, like, where that kind of came from, because it looks like a personal journey that you are going on yourself that you've just decided to share with the world on Insta.
Yeah, so I've got my other page, and which is just, I guess,
what personal. People
call, personal accounts. And so I'd started sharing, I guess, my journey on there. And then I'd been seeing a lot of content around how people unconsciously push their own agendas onto other people via social media.
Okay.
And so it was really important for me to bear in mind that a lot of the people that were following me at that stage weren't following me to follow my health journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was for other reasons, whether it was just to keep up with my day-to-day life or whatever. It wasn't specifically to be inundated with my meals or my workouts or, photos of me and my undies or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I wasn't very clear in that in terms of what I was putting out there, so I couldn't really expect the people. And because I've got whānau on there, I've got people who I've never met before on there, and the stuff that I wanted to share through Reprogramming Pare was very personal, and so I wanted people who were going to step into that space to know, to actively and intently step into the space, and know that I was creating it for me and what it was for. And so if they were going to come into that space, to not, and because I'm quite conscious that people have opinions about people via social media and all of that, for me that's fine, you can have it, but you're coming into this space, know that this is what I'm doing, and if anything is making you feel some kind of way, then you need to exit. There's nothing that I'm going to change about how I present myself to make the people that are coming into those spaces feel more comfortable, but they do have the option to step out. That's why I've kept it private, because I didn't want just anyone willy-nilly. I didn't want bots. I didn't want I wanted people who wanted to be there.
In that space,
absolutely. And that's 100% what I wanted to create. So there's some people that I actually haven't accepted to the page as well, just because I'm not 100% sure whether they want the content that I'm sharing through there, because I know them in different capacities. So if I don't feel like, accept or, all good, I'm just going to leave it for a little while and just sit on it. So, it is quite a not a sacred space or anything, but it is intentional. I'm intentionally creating a vibe there.
That's awesome.
That I want to, I'm slowly going to build on.
Yeah.
I forget that it's not your personal page because it's the only way like that I've connected with you.
Yeah.
And you do show up like a lot online, and I see you, and I know it's just not about, like, you're not just on a physical journey, it's like a mental and like whole lifestyle journey. But just like seeing you and like showing up and doing your exercises and stuff, I'm like, damn, go girl. That's so awesome to see. And I feel like it is a really good space. Like it feels like a safe space in there for like people watching you, but also for you as well to post.
Yeah, 100%. Cool, I'm glad you get that vibe. That's what I'm going for.
Awesome. So, like, when did you, like, make that?
I think it was only at the start of this year. January, maybe, so.
Was that when you started this kind of journey, or?
No, I've been on this journey for a long time. This is probably, like, 5 years in the making. Yeah. So, but I'm just such a different person. So, through all of that I've been through, I've also gone through a journey of weight loss, so. As I said, I lost my mum at 18, and following that, like, I probably really put on maybe 10 kgs after high school. I put on another 20 on top of that. Like, it was just, I just found comfort in food and alcohol and anything that would just numb the pain or just distract me from the pain. And so, yeah, I put on a lot of weight. And so for years following that, I've struggled with my weight as well.
Yeah.
So I think reprogramming Putty came at a time where I was comfortable and okay to share where I'm at with this journey. Like, I've shared tidbits before, but I've only ever given people glimpses. I've never ever gone deep into what was, you know, the causes of the issue and how I contributed to it, all of that stuff. Like, that's where I want to get to with reprogramming Putty. Like, that's the idea, is to really unpack all of that stuff that has led me to the point where I'm like, okay, I want to talk about this journey. I want to start a page. I want to share it. You know, what is that going to look like? And so, yeah, I think that this is kind of, I just got a pull at the start of the year to be like, nah, you know what? You are at a point now where you can step out of your own little comfort zone and just be open to grow in other spaces, you know? Like, for me, I intentionally, so I only follow people on that page who inspire me in some way or another.
Yeah.
And I only follow 11 people.
Yeah.
But those people, like, I will watch all of their stories, like, from start to finish, whenever it comes up. Like, that's how I think I've got Stella.
Yeah, Stella, yeah.
And I've got Flo with Kush.
She's awesome.
Oh, I love her. She is honestly my spirit woman. I know that the universe is gonna bring me to meet her one day. Yeah. Like, I already feel aligned with it. I know that I'm gonna meet her one day. I'm so excited about it. Like, I just I've always thought that. So yeah, anyway, like, Flow with Kush, I've learned so much from her, just about, like, how to love myself, how to share myself. Like, so yeah, from following her, I've pretty much got the confidence to share reprogramming.
That's cool. And then when you just said, like, you felt the pull, it's awesome that you can, like, acknowledge when you are feeling something or feeling like you've been guided to a certain way, and being able to, like, understand that you can follow through with that. Because for me personally, I'm kind of on that journey of, like, what is my intuition? Like, what is it telling me? And how do you know it's your intuition talking to you, and whether you go with it or not? So it sounds like you're, like, quite grounded and, like, comfortable with your intuition, and you know it's telling you where it needs to go. Maybe that comes back to all the, like, different paths that you've had and just the way your life has gone, and it just sounds so right.
Yeah.
Like, everything just feels so right for you. So, you know, I guess it's your building confidence when you make a decision and you're like, yep, that's why I went that way. And I think that comes with just time,
with experience, with understanding really why we don't trust ourselves in the first place. Like, that was a big thing for me, is like, why do we doubt ourselves, our instincts? Why do we think, oh no, I don't want to do that, but I'm going to do it anyway because I was asked to do it, you know? So I've done a lot of work on that, because for a long time I ignored my instincts, I ignored my intuition, I didn't believe that there was anything to it. But for me, the big turning point was definitely when I think it was probably when I was getting married, and I felt a lot more of a connection to my mum. It was the first time in a long time, like, you know, there was 6 years between when she passed away and when I got married. So it was the first time in a long time where I felt any sort of like safe connection with her. And then from there, and because usually you're like, mate, she's dead, you come to,
yeah,
what are you talking about, like, that's insane. But for me, because I lent into those feelings instead of denying them, it made my whole wedding process so much easier.
Yeah.
So when I thought about it, I was like, why would I deny myself that feeling of ease, that feeling of comfort, just because I can't explain it in a physical, scientific sense.
Explain it to someone else.
Yeah. It's had an impact on me. And so I think for me, that was the turning point, like, you know, you might not be able to explain everything, girlfriend, but you can feel everything. And I'm a feeler. Like, you know, I can feel people's energies when they walk in a room. Like, I can feel a heavy energy. I can, and I ignored that. Like, you know, when you feel, you can feel when someone's angry and they've walked into a room, right? Yeah. That's an energy thing. And so we ignore that. We think, oh, we're just going to keep on typing. We're not going to ask them why they're angry, because they might be angry at us.
Yeah.
That's how we're ignoring our instinct to actually connect with that person. And because it's a fear-based thing a lot of the time. It's like, oh, I don't want any sort of repercussions from that, so I'm not going to engage. But really, when we think about it, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to address energies when they're not really explainable.
Like, yeah, that's so interesting.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't explain it. So people are like, I don't want to talk about it. Just pretend it doesn't exist. I don't want to be a weirdo. Yeah. You know, like, and that's the thing. I was like, I don't care if people think I'm a weirdo now, because I know that what I'm talking about and what I'm saying is true to me.
Yeah.
And the ones that it's supposed to connect with, it will connect with.
Yeah.
The ones that aren't supposed to hear this will be sitting there thinking, shut up. Like, you don't know, you're crazy, lady. And I'm like, that's cool. You're on a different journey. You're on a different pathway. The ones that are supposed to hear this message will be hearing it right now. And they're like, oh my gosh, somebody else is talking about what I've been thinking about. Yes, if that is you, I am talking about it. I'm telling you, you are not the only one. There's a whole bunch of us, actually, that practice, you know, energy awareness. People use stones. People use, I don't know, what other forms of meditation are there, or things like that. You know, there are people like bars.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah. It's all about energies.
And I feel like right now, in this time in history, like, there is a lot more awareness around this kind of stuff. Because now, even just hearing you talk about it, like, my mum was involved in a lot of this stuff, but when I was, like, growing up, it was still kind of all classes, like, woo-woo, like, not, like, up in the clouds, like, crazy lady over there.
Yeah.
But, and it's because it is a little bit unexplainable, but that what you just said, like, who is meant to hear this will hear this. It.
Yeah.
I feel like if you live, like, by that saying, then everything will work out how it's meant to work
100%. And you will receive the messages that you're supposed to hear. And the thing is when you're open to this, when you're open to receiving, you will get an abundance of receiving. Like, it just comes to you. It's like, you know, I love money and money loves me. I love money and money loves me. And all of a sudden you get money showing up in your bank account. Like, 100%. It's working through the same, because we are energy, we are vibrations. And so when we're operating on those vibrations, when people are operating on the same vibrations, they connect.
Yeah.
They connect. So, 100% believe in working towards connecting with your intuition more, just to understand our place within the world and where we're actually sitting with other people on, like, a deeper level, rather than just what they can. People can tell you anything. People can say anything, but it's feelings, but they don't lie. Energy doesn't lie.
I'm just, like, sitting here, like, learning so much from you, and I'm kind of buzzed out. Like, when I ran out to the car to get the microphone from Daniel, I was like, we just met, but she's, like, into it, touching my head, like, touching my face, like, straight into it. And it didn't feel weird. Yeah. It felt so normal and so right, and I feel, like, so comfortable with you.
Cool.
And it's just crazy that, like, internet or social media brought us together.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was meant to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's so cool.
And it's funny, because I was watching a lot of your stories and I was like, I could totally vibe with this girl. Like, I 100% could get on the same vibe. Like, even your Freedom Era stuff. Like, I love the kind of the community of belief that you guys are building. I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
And because I feel like there's not enough communities in the world, other than like religious gatherings, that genuinely build each other up.
Yeah.
Out of like pure desire to want to see each other succeed.
Everyone succeed. You know? That is so true. Yeah, and that's like a huge part of the community. Like, it is a tribe, and we're all so supportive. And I didn't really realize that going in. I was just like, I'm joining this like network marketing company, and it's gonna help me leave my job. But when I got in there and you're just like bombarded with all this love, it was like, I'm like, whoa, what is this? Like, I found like my soul tribe, and it's so cool.
Yeah.
And totally like didn't expect it. And I think like even they talk a lot about like, yeah, finding your soul tribe and finding people who are like on a similar like mission to you. And it's just crazy because like my business Soul Family, like the meaning of the word soul family is like a group of people connected by the same mission or vision. And I just thought, it was like, whoa, what the heck? That's so crazy that I wanted to create something like that. That's what I always wanted with Soul Family, like a community of people, like-minded people that had the same vision. And with Soul Family, like, yes, we are currently selling like products for environmental sustainability, but like deep down I've always just seen it as a place where people like value our earth in all aspects, because the earth and Mother Nature like affects and impacts everything we do. So it's not just a matter of not using straws and plastic, it's just like it's a more much more holistic overview that I'm trying to capture. And I feel like if you're alive and you're a human, you really should care about our earth and Mother Nature and what she has to offer and what she gives us and what we can give to her.
So that's
kind of like a mini full circle for me in terms of like the space I'm going into and what I want to attract in my life.
And what you're getting back from it. Being open to receiving it. It's crazy what you get when you're open to receiving it. And funny that you say, like, you just received an abundance of love. Like, you know, it wasn't overwhelming, like, marketing tools or anything like that. Yeah. Like, it was just genuine support.
Yeah.
And from that it's grown a deeper desire to want to connect in those spaces. So, no, that's super cool. I like that.
Awesome, awesome. All right, let's move on to talking about Rākai. So I want you to tell us a little bit about Rākai Aotearoa and what the journey of a startup has been like for you.
Sure. Okay. So it's actually just Rākai. I had to put Aotearoa at the end because the
Is that for the Instagram handle?
Yeah, because of Instagram. But otherwise, it's just Rākai.
Okay.
Rākai or Rākai is the Māori word for adornment or embellishment. So the whakaaro behind that ingoa or that name was to because the main kaupapa for Rākai is to normalise te reo Māori. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that the reo is the embellishment of not just the things or the mirror that it's sitting on, but for the entire world. In my opinion, te reo Māori is one of the most beautiful languages, not just in its structure, but in the whakaaro behind it and how the words are created. It's just so beautiful. And growing up, I didn't understand that. Like, I had a very colonised perspective growing up on what it meant to be Māori, what it meant to speak te reo Māori, the value that it held. And so for me, Rākai was a representation of a journey of reclamation for me. Reclaiming what should always have been mine. That was never offered to me because of circumstances outside of my control. And so it was a reclamation for my bloodline, for my own uri, for my babies, for my baby and my babies to come, because as an adult, and I don't know where the other Māori who don't speak te reo Māori all feel the same, but I know there are many, and I just feel the absence of my reo as an adult. And I feel as a Māori woman who can't articulate herself fluently in te reo Māori that I can't articulate myself accurately as who I am. And so I do feel that gap. And there's other, there's probably other Māori women who don't have their reo that would say the complete opposite, and I guess that's their story. But for me, I'm a very poetic person. I love to express myself myself emotively, and the way that te reo is built, it's just so emotive. Like the words they speak about, they don't just talk about things point blank, they talk about the shape and how it makes them feel and all of that good stuff. So without going too much into detail there, but yeah, so Rākai was just the opportunity to take hold of everything that I was learning. So last year was my first year in a full immersion environment, and I was just so in love. I was just felt so in love with te reo, and I just wanted everyone to have it all the time, every time, whenever they wanted it. And because I was looking for things like this and I couldn't find them, like there just wasn't a lot of options. There was maybe one or two options on the market, and those ones that were out there were often sold out. So to me, I identified a gap right there. I was like, okay, well, if they're always sold out, then there's obviously a need, a want, a desire, and an inability to fulfill that right now. And so this was like over a 12-month period of like umming and ahhing about whether I wanted to do that. And then lockdown 2020 happened. I was given a whole lot of extra time to think about stuff. Like, you know, I went from being a new mum, going out all the time, socializing and stuff, to being stuck at home for 5, 6, 7 weeks. I can't even remember how long it was now. But you know, I got thrown into that, and so lots of so I was still doing my reo classes from home, and I just kind of was like, you know, let's just give it a go, let's just see what you can do with
that's
it.
That's awesome.
So I found some suppliers online, and I got some samples, and then when the samples came, I just got so like emotionally overwhelmed, because something that I thought had create, like that I was imagining, was real. And because you look at one of my bottles and you just think, oh yeah, that's a bottle, but actually the amount of hours and time that went into that bottle was just wow. Like, you know,
no one will ever understand
no that. One and that's the thing, is people who I heard it in your podcast too, like the common denominators between what I could understand, you, I was reading between the lines of what you were saying, and I was like, I totally get what she's talking about. Because you think, you go to the shop, you buy it, and you're like, it's great. You don't even think about how much sleep that person must have lost to get it to that point. Like, I didn't lose heaps of sleep, to be fair, but you know, like, it was stressful. I was I had to worry about the design. I had to hire hire someone to actually do the design for me, because I'm not that way inclined. And then I had to pay for the samples, and then I had to organize the agent to get it over here. Like, it was just a long process, and I had to go through like 10 different suppliers before I was happy to even buy a sample. So there was a lot of energy that was exchanged for these samples. And so when they arrived, I was like, nah, okay, I'm gonna have to do this now, because usually self-doubt talk will come in, and I'll sabotage myself one way or another. But I just, there's just a huge switch flipped in me when I became a mother, and I just wanted to be able to say to her that I'd done this, and that she was the inspiration behind all of this. And I wanted to see it through to an end. I don't know where the end is, but I wanted to see it through to the end and be able to show her, like, this is what Mama did, and you can do it too. You know, like, it may not be something like this, but if she believes in something enough, she applies herself enough, it'll happen.
That's a really big why, isn't it?
100%. Like, she will feel my soul forever, like, in a day. If I have her and my dreams at the core of what I'm doing, I can't go wrong. Surely I can't go wrong. Like, there may be a few slip ups, sure.
Yeah.
But eventually, you get to where you want to go, right? I think. I know. I'm asking you, but I don't actually know. Am I asking myself? Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome. And so you launched October last year?
September last year. Okay. So September 1st, Mahuru Māori, which is Māori Language Month.
Yeah.
So I... It just, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it just felt aligned. I was like, everything's going to arrive just before Mahuru Māori. Let's do this. So, yeah, it's been, what, 5 months now? September, October, November, December, January. Yeah, five and a half months, nearly 6 months now since I've launched. We're over 1,000 likes on Facebook and nearly 800 on Instagram. Over the Christmas period, from launch till now, I've made almost 200 sales via our online e-store.
Wow, that's so awesome.
E-commerce store, and we also attended our first market in December at the Christmas night market here in Palmerston North. And I couldn't even tell you how many sales we had over those 2 days, but it was insane.
Crazy
we were
just time,
yeah, man. We were run off our feet. We were in the back corner, and the stands that were beside us were just blown away. They were just like, "You guys are smashing it!"
Yeah, that's awesome.
We're like, "That's awesome," because we don't really know what we're doing. We're just giving it a go.
Especially when you just started in September.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm crazy like that. I'm crazy. Like, honestly, this guy came around who had obviously been doing the market for a few years, and he was like, "Oh, you guys are new?" I was like, "Yeah, this is our first market ever." And he was like, "Oh, this is an expensive market for your first one." And I was like, "Oh, is it?" So I didn't have a clue. Like, you know, I guess most people usually do free markets, but this one cost a few hundred dollars or whatever. Yeah. And so, yeah, I was just, this is what I mean. I don't really think about stuff too much. I'm just like, just go and do it.
Yeah.
Like, if I get the feel, like, maybe I should do it, just go and do it. And so there was those 2 days. The first day we learned so many lessons the hard way.
Yeah.
And there were quite a few lessons. Like, I didn't have business cards. I didn't have internet set up properly for my Afterpay or my lay-by. So, yeah, it was a bit awkward the first day, but I'm a very quick learner. So I came home, I made a list of all the shit that went wrong, and I was like, nah. This is what we got to do the next day. And I ran it like a business. I was like, okay, this needs to be sorted.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who I was running. It was only me and my best friend and my husband. But we got it done. And, the next day was just a breeze, and it was totally different. And I think for me, it just proved that, like, although I did not want to be, like, I know now, I don't want to be standing at the market stall selling. Like, that's not where I want to be. Yeah, I know that I have to do that as part of the hustle phase, but that's not quite where I want to be. But there was lots of lessons, valuable lessons in that as a business person, as an entrepreneur. If I'm gonna get other people to run a market, I know now what to expect. So there was just lots of lessons that I took away from it.
Well, what I take from your story is you can either, and I'm probably on the other end of the spectrum, you can either keep working on it and working on it and working on it until something's perfect, and then take 3,000 years to launch, or you can just go in hard and then learn from it and, like, fail and learn quickly and then carry on. And I feel like that's something that you do really well.
100%. Like, and because I could have done that, like, I very well could have, but I knew I would never ever get back off the ground. And I just needed to get it off the ground before I went back to work, because I knew I wasn't going to be able to apply the attention that it needed for it to get it off the ground once I was back at work. So I had a very short time frame to get it off the ground. So I was like, wow, you just got to do it, mama. And I've just kind of followed that same mentality, brought the same energy, that same belief that, like you said, fail, learn from it very quickly. And, I'm still, like, learning from those failures. I'm still, even over Christmas time, I think I may have lost maybe, like, $400 or $500 in sales because I didn't have my shipping set up properly on my Shopify. So, that was another lesson that I had to learn from very quickly to be able to correct it. So, there's just things that you have to be willing to, there's hits that you have to be willing to take if you're wanting to step into the entrepreneurial space, because you will take hits. And so it's how you handle those hits that really define your character as an entrepreneur. So, like, for example, for me, the first time I ordered this, the samples for my canister sets, I paid almost $1,000 for this set.
For the sample.
For the sample.
What?
Because this is how committed I was to my belief.
Yeah.
So not all the way. This was including shipping because, you know, we were in the middle of COVID. I know
samples are expensive, but not that expensive.
I know. And I did see this was the first sample. So again, we're learning lessons here. And so the very first sample, it was almost a grand. This was, I think the shipping alone was like $250 because I was flying it over. And because in each set there was like different. There were 6 different words, so I needed 6 different templates. I just had to accept it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, well, it's all good because it's going to go into the... It's all going to pay off in the end. They got here and they were shit. The lids couldn't sit on the containers properly. The words were crooked.
Wow.
There was a huge dent in the side of the tin. Like, I was heartbroken. I was like, how could they do this to me? I felt betrayed. But then I realised, you know what? This is just one of the hits that you're going to have to take because you can't do anything about it. So I think I might have got like $150 back because I couldn't get any of the template samples back or the shipping, of course. So yeah, it was a very expensive lesson to learn, but I learned it very early on. I learned a lot from that one experience, and I probably learned more from that than I would have had everything gone smoothly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I really had to take that hit in order to, and to see the value from that hit in order to be able to continue and move on. Because even a year or so beforehand, I would have taken that as a sign not to carry on.
Yeah, okay.
And been like, don't do that.
This
again.
Is a roadblock.
Yeah, this is where you stop.
Yeah.
This is where we stop here. But for me, again, like I said, like I learned a whole new level of resilience when I became a mother. So I was like, you know what? This is real bad. You're probably gonna laugh about this in 6 months. Right now you're not laughing.
Yeah,
but right you'll now, laugh you're about it one day. Yeah, you're crying, absolutely, and you're throwing your $900 tins around the room. But eventually especially now I do 100% I see the values of my failures more so than my successes. 100%. So that's, you have to be willing to.
Yeah, in such a short amount of time I feel like you've learnt so much, like personally and then just in terms of business as well. And when you decided that you wanted to set up a business, like, have you had like people around you in your life that are entrepreneurs, or did you do a business course, or did you just have no idea about it and just jumped in anyway? Or
One of my very, very dear friends is like, she's the most entrepreneurial I've ever met. Like, she just has such a beautiful mind for creativity and business. So her name's Shana. I'm going to do a plug for her because I absolutely love her and believe in everything that she does. So she is a photographer, so that's her passion. She's also the owner of Manawatu Parties, which is a...
I've seen it.
Absolutely. Stunning balloon garlands and just high quality party gear, I guess. She does like the summer parties and stuff.
Yeah, those are so cute.
And she's just recently purchased another business, which is Wildmid.
Oh, yeah.
Photo Booths.
Yeah.
So she's just purchased that as well. So she's got like 3 businesses.
Is that full time? Is she doing?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like those are. Well, surely that's like. Full-time, like, yeah. That sounds like two. Like,
yeah, that's a million.
Super full time. Yeah. So she's definitely doing. Yeah. So she works for herself, and that was my inspiration. Like, I saw the freedoms that she got from. Like, she could wake up at 10 o'clock in the morning. That's all good because she can work till 11 o'clock at night if she wants to. Because there's no one dictating her calendar for her, other than obviously her customers, which she's okay with because she's getting an exchange for that.
Rather
than something that is valuable to her. She finds value in it. Shana was a huge inspiration for me. And her fiance, they're both entrepreneurial. So her husband or her fiance owns a painting business, ASAP Decorating.
Oh, yeah.
So, and he's just expanded his business to take on employees and stuff. So, cool. You know, they're both on that hustle grind game. Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
So you just saw someone in your life and you're like, they can do it. I'm going to give it a go. Was that literally it?
Well, like I bounced a lot of the initial ideas off Shana and I was like, I want to do this. And she was actually the one that pointed me in the direction of where to find my suppliers or where to start looking for my suppliers. And that was like the turning point for me and oh my gosh, I actually can do this. So yeah, 100%. So grateful to have someone with that level of self-belief, because you have to believe in yourself to be able to work as an entrepreneur. Like you have to
back yourself.
Yeah, you have to. To step out of the comfort of having a 9-to-5 behind you, you really have to believe that when push comes to shove, you're gonna pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're gonna do what needs to be done and get it done. And you're gonna do it when nobody else wants to, because that's what you have to do.
And it's on you. So
it's on you. So if you don't, absolutely. Like, the stakes are way higher, but for me, I feel like they're way more fulfilling.
A lot more rewarding.
A lot more rewarding. Yeah, 100%.
What I get from that when you were just speaking about Charlotte, your friend, is that, like, you're doing the exact same thing now for, like, other people. You are being that, by you starting Lakai, you're being that inspiration, that role model, that if she can do it, then I can do it. And I feel like that's so important, because, like, for me, like, personally, like, I had, like, my grandparents, like, started a business, and that was kind of my experience with that, so it wasn't too foreign to me to start a business, but still it was different, because it's like a brick and mortar business. And I feel like moving into the space with online and social media, it's a lot more accessible for everyday people to become entrepreneurs, which I think is amazing. I feel like you're definitely, like, doing that for other people and, like, sharing that in the community. I hope that you tell people that you're the one behind the archive.
I never really thought about that, to be honest. And
you're doing the thing.
I guess I am. Yeah, I talk about it sometimes. Like, to be honest, sometimes it's... I'm not very good at talking, like, I'm not the best at talking about it.
Yeah.
But
have you done it much or no? Because otherwise you're just, like, learning, right?
Even at Christmas time, when I had the opportunity to sort of self-plug, I'm just not very good at it.
Yeah. I get you and I feel you on that, and especially when it's like your baby, your thing. Like, I was like, what's my elevator pitch? Like, how do I, like, talk about this? And, like, when I did associate myself quite early on, like, I'm behind Soul Family, this is my thing. And so I forgot that if I did that, that means people in my real life are going to be asking about it. And they come, how's Soul Family? I'm like, oh yeah, it's good. And I'm like, can you please just not ask me about it, something else?
Yeah, let's not talk about it, okay? Let's not talk about it. Yeah, no, but I came into the space, I wasn't sure so much as to how the people in my circle, not my close circle, but, you know, my circle would react and how they would support me. And I guess I had expectations, and some of those expectations weren't met, which left me with disappointment. But I guess it just taught me not to expect anything, and not to go out with anything other than expectations of yourself.
Yeah.
Because, you're 100% going to set yourself up for failure or for disappointment if you do that. And so, and also, what support looks like to you may look different to somebody else. You know, what you're expecting from someone else as support may not be the support that they know or are willing to give. And I've had to come to terms with that. Because it's a kaupapa Māori, like, I feel like because it's a kaupapa Māori that some of my non-Māori friends don't know how to support it. And then I also think that because I have people that are passionate or are fluent in te reo, that have their own whakaaro on how te reo should be handled and who should be able to handle it, per se, that they have their own whakaaro. And so, it's just really interesting to see the support or the lack thereof across the different groups of people in my life.
Yeah.
But the main message for me, like, that I've learned is that I've continued despite all of that. Like, I don't need the approval of anybody.
Yeah.
And I didn't go into Rā Kwai for the approval of anybody. Yeah. So I needed to keep that in mind as I was moving forward. So in the initial phases, it really got me down. I was like, why aren't they liking my page?
Yeah.
Bomb. Like, when I say that out loud, that sounds so pathetic. But, like, now I'm like, nah, that's cool. Like, it's all good. Because I do. I've got 1,000 other people who are following that are invested in the kaupapa, that believe in what I'm doing. And I'm receiving messages from people all the time about how they love the products, how they love what I'm doing. So those are the people that, like I said before, the ones who are supposed to receive it.
I was just going to say that. I mean, too.
And the ones who aren't just won't. Yeah. And, yeah, it took a little bit of self-work to get to that point and to let go of my ego, because I think it was an ego thing.
Yeah.
You know, wanting to be seen in a certain space and in a certain light and not getting the response that you expected. I had to ask myself, what do I expect there? And at the end of the day, it was some sort of, like, gratification that I essentially don't need.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
That's a really important lesson. Yeah. And we'll do one more question to wrap up, because we've been talking for almost an hour.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just flowing by. And I just love the conversations that we've been having. And this is probably one of my first podcasts where it's like the trajectory of the conversation has changed a little bit to how I had like tried to plan it, which is amazing, because this is just where it's meant to go and it feels right. And I've just let it flow. But I do want to, one more question that I do want to ask you is, if there was someone who was just kind of starting out, and I initially wrote on their journey of self-development, but I feel like it's just more than that. If there's just someone in their life and they're in a point in their life where they're kind of stuck, or they want to start their journey of bettering themselves or looking for other things or trying to, like, I guess maybe like join another tribe or something. Mm. This is a very heavily packed question, but yeah, let's just say, what's one word of advice that you'd give to a young person who's kind of stuck?
For me, when the initial question was asked, I definitely, like, whenever it comes to self-development, it's always, for me, it's starting with yourself, and it's being brutally honest with yourself. Mm. And for me, how that may physically look. And so towards the start of my, I guess, self-development, self-awareness journey, one thing that I noticed was social media was very triggering for me. Like, it triggered a lot of different emotions for me, depending on who I was following and what they were putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get invested, like very invested in these people and their journeys and all of that. And there were some people who, if I went on their pages, they would trigger like a hate response. I say hate response, but I don't know whether that's the right word, whether it could be replaced with jealousy or envy or whatever. But I would look at their page and I would just feel less. And as a response, I wouldn't message these people, but like, to me, it would come out as judgment. Or some form of, you know, oh, I wouldn't wear that, or, oh, that looks terrible, or just something haterish.
Yeah.
You know, I was just being a hater.
Yeah.
For no reason. These people hadn't done anything to me. They were putting out the same type of content that I would probably put out nowadays.
Yeah.
But I was triggered by them.
Wow.
And so there was one particular influencer who even now I still follow, and so I was at a point where I wanted to unfollow her. I was like, nah, she's so up herself, like, I do not want to see her. And then there was just something in me that told me to sit with it, like, don't unfollow, just sit with it and ask yourself, why is this person triggering this response in you? And when I actually sat there and looked at it, it was because she was expressing, she reminded me of myself.
Mm-hmm.
She was expressing everything about myself that I wish I could,
yeah,
that I was holding back, that I still hold back now.
Yeah.
And which is why I say I'm still triggered by her now, because she still she's still being her, she's still doing that, and there's still parts of me that I hold back. And so I've kept, like I said, I've kept following her mainly for that self-growth, for that self-development, and for that accountability, that reminder that there's still stuff to work on. And so for people, and because I know social media is a huge thing for our youth, for those youth who are on social media and are finding themselves triggered, and not in the terms, not in a way where you are triggered positively, like, that's awesome. Like, if there's somebody that inspires you to do better and want better, then awesome. But if there's somebody that's making you feel some type of way negatively about yourself, sit with that. That doesn't mean continue following them.
Yeah.
If it's not serving you well and you don't have the ability to work through that and unpack that, then 100% disconnect and connect with people who are going to inspire you, who are going to ignite that flame within you. But if you're like me and you're a little bit older and you've been through a little bit more and you're in a position where you're actually able to look at yourself objectively, then do that. Sit with yourself uncomfortably. Ask yourself the questions. Why? Why do I feel like this? And be brutally honest. Is it because you want to be that person? Because if you can't be brutally honest with yourself, you can't be honest with anybody. There's nobody in the world that you can be more honest with than yourself. But you actually have to have these conversations. You have to work it out.
Yeah.
Because so many of us think that, oh, just thinking it and sitting with it is the same as working out. It's not the same. It's not the same. And it won't ever feel the same as when you sit there and actually flesh it out. So you type it out on the computer. You write it out in a journal. You know, you talk about it in front of a camera. You record yourself.
Yeah, and just get it out.
Just get it out and into the universe. So the universe can do its work on it and help you to work through it. Because, I've just seen it so many times through my mahi, and these are through all of the roles that I've done. Adults just bottle everything up, you know. There's so many of us that just bottle the things that we need to work through up.
We don't want to be uncomfortable.
No one wants to be uncomfortable. Who wants to be uncomfortable? But you know what? You grow the most through discomfort. You know, growing pains are absolutely that. They're painful, but you're growing. You're developing yourself. You're becoming more of the person that you are meant to be by going through those things. We're never going to grow in environments of comfort. We'll be safe for sure, 100%. And for those of us who have lived unsafe lives or have lived in survival mode for such a long time, safety is paramount, you know. However, to be able to step out of those little, I guess, silos of safety, you really have to be first and foremost willing to get uncomfortable. And for me, like, I've had so many uncomfortable conversations with people that have, and I think of like my best friends. Like, we've had to go through some uncomfortable conversations together, because even in your friendships there's issues that crop up, and we're not given the tools to be able to communicate those in a friendship, in a relationship, in a family relationship. Like, we're just not given the tools. So okay, we can say, oh, I was never taught how to do that, I'm just not going to do it. Or, okay, I was never taught how to do that, but I'm going to put in the work to try and learn. And the difference between the outcomes of the two is dramatic.
It's just about taking ownership of your life, really, isn't
100%.
It?
100%. Taking the bull by the horns and just,
just
not living through it.
Yeah.
You know, not just existing. I refuse to exist in this, only in this lifetime. I've always said, you know, I don't want to just be, I don't want to be a human being, I want to be a human doing,
you know.
I love that. 100%. So, I think that Is that
it? Yeah.
That's a good place to leave it with?
That's 100% an amazing place to leave it. Such a powerful way to end the EFN. And I'm just blown away, like, by all the magic you just spit out. Like, honestly. And just knowing for someone from such a short amount of time, we've talked a little bit back and forth, but you just truly don't know someone. And I love the podcast for this reason, because we just connected so, like, deeply. And I just learned so, so much about you. And so grateful for your time.
Thank you, Felicia.
Thank you so much for coming on my podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode and investing time into yourself. I hope you got something from this. And if you did, I would love it if you shared the Fluorescence podcast with anyone else who you think may benefit. I really appreciate it a lot, and it helps the podcast out heaps. You can follow us or chat with us on our socials at fluorescence.podcast, and I will see you on the next one. Thanks, guys.